Don't you appreciate our worship team? Amen. And the ones that already sat down? Praise the Lord. It's pretty rare for us, you know, as pastors, Pastor Mark, myself, you know, when we get up here to preach, it's very rare for us to communicate with these guys as far as what we're preaching. You know, we want them to be led by the Spirit of God, and Stacy always does a great job picking out songs, and Stacy's very mindful, especially when we're in message series, about picking songs out. But you're going to see, it's interesting, you're going to see how the songs that they did this morning go along with the message. Amen. Already bless me. Praise the Lord. Well, you glad to be here? Yes. Praise God. Bob was in trouble. Everybody say, uh-oh. Anybody ever forgot your wedding anniversary? Bob was in trouble. He forgot his wedding anniversary, and his wife was especially angry. She told him, tomorrow morning, I expect to find a gift in the driveway that goes from 0 to 200 in 6 seconds, and it better be there. The next morning, he got up early and left for work, and when his wife woke up, she looked out the window, and sure enough, there was a box, gift-wrapped, in the middle of the driveway. Confused, the wife put on her robe, ran out to the driveway, and brought the box back in the house. She opened it up and found a brand-new bathroom scale. Bob has been missing ever since Friday. Oh, that's terrible. Terrible. Somebody say, I'm not Bob. Don't do that, right? It's funny, though. I had to pass that along. Not that that involves anybody around here. You wouldn't do that, but praise the Lord. Anyways, we're going to pick up on a message series that we've been on. One theme that you find throughout Scripture and throughout the Word of God is that, you know, God is always setting us up for the next day. He's setting us up for the future. And you know, He's wanting us to enlarge our vision for the days to come. Amen. You know, from the time that He spoke to Abraham and He told him, He said, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make your name great. You know, He's setting him up. He's giving him a vision of hope for the future. Amen. And so we've talked a lot about Abraham, and we'll still talk a little bit about him moving forward. But that same theme is seen throughout Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And one particular theme, one particular word that we see used over and over is to be blessed. We see the word blessing. We see the word inheritance. You know, all of these things essentially come down to the same idea, right? And so, so we're going to pick up on that. How many of you know the number one way to quickly be defeated in this life is to not see yourself the way the Father sees you? Man, that's such a big deal, you know, to change your perspective and to get an image of yourself the way God sees you. Such a big deal, because whenever you don't, you know, you forfeit what is rightfully yours, whatever belongs to you. How many of you took Isaiah 41 verse 9 and you spoke it to yourself this week? Remember, that's the assignment we gave you? Were you good students? Did anybody do it? Remember what we said. Isaiah 41 9 says, you are my servant. I have chosen you and I have not cast you out. Boy, I'm telling you, that's something you ought to get up every single morning and declare twofold. God has chosen me and He has not cast me out. Because, yeah, we all miss it. Yeah, there's things we do in life that cause us to fall short of the glory of God, to fall short to, you know, and we begin to get this idea and this image of ourselves that we're flawed and we can be never used by God. Listen, that's a lie of the enemy. There's a lie of the enemy. And if you buy into that, then you'll essentially forfeit everything that rightfully belongs to you. So it says that He has chosen you. He has not cast you out. Anybody, this is a terrible example, really, but have you ever been getting together for a yard sale? And maybe you're purging your house. I don't think we will ever do a yard sale at my house, because Sheila would rather throw it all out. Doesn't even want to mess with it. And so, but have you ever got in your closet and you just started purging, you know, She's always encouraging me to purge because I'm the guy that, you know, I still have clothes that go back, without exaggeration, to when I was in high school. It's terrible, I know. Don't judge me. But I do. I do. And so, yeah, that's been a while. So yeah, I've got those clothes. But, you know, have you ever gone in your closet and you just did a purge and you just thought, you know, I need to get rid of some of this? We're at a point, we actually don't have any more hangers left in the house. So, you know, we need to go buy some hangers because you know, you can't throw anything away. So if you're going to add two, you got to have more hangers, right? But see, if you've got that particular item that is good and it fits you right, and you remember when you bought it all those many years ago, 30 years ago, you know, and it's still holding together, it might still have a few holes in it and, you know, strings coming out, but it's comfortable, you know. It's chosen. You picked it, and you don't want to throw it out. Well, you know, in life, it feels like you just get kicked around a little bit, right? Just feels like, you know, we go through some tough times, but the Lord is telling you, I've chosen you. I've picked you. No matter how beat up you feel, get up. You know, there's all kinds of scriptures that are talking about get up, get on your feet and get moving, right? Get up. Doesn't matter what life's done to you, get up, move on. He said, I've chosen you and I haven't kicked you out. I haven't thrown you out. Amen. So that's a promise that you got to get a hold of for yourself, is begin to see yourself as the Father sees you. Come on now, that's so important. And you must begin to see yourself and know that He is faithful to you. Somebody say He's faithful. You know, one of the key cornerstone scriptures that we find, go over to Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Talking about the heart of the Father here. But you know, this is one of the key scriptures or key verbiage that we see in Scripture that really applies to us as Christians. It says in Mark 1:40, it says, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him, saying unto him, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, touched him, and said to him, I will, be thou clean. Now think about that. Think about that. Number one, the leper said, I know you can. Well, that's a revelation of the Father that you've got to get, is that you know He can. My daddy's bigger than your daddy. Anybody remember that? My daddy can do anything. Well, your Heavenly Father can do anything. He can move mountains for you. But it's not just that He can, because not the fact that He can does nothing for you. It's good to know that He can. It's good to have that revelation. But you've got to take it a step further. And like this leper said, he said, I know He can, but will He? That's the kicker. A lot of people don't have that understanding. They have a general understanding of the Word, and they know that this Bible is full of good passages and good scriptures and good Bible stories. And I know that God can, but will He? But what did he say? What did the Lord do? He said, I will. One translation said that he said, of course I will. That's his response to you this morning, is of course I want to, and of course I will. Amen. Such a good comparison. We've been looking at Abraham and Sarah a little bit, but in Hebrews 11:11 it says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past the age. In other words, she was nearly 100 years old, but notice it says, because she judged him faithful who had promised. In other words, what she was saying is she judged him faithful that he would carry out the promise. Listen, Abraham and Sarah were well past the age. You know that. We're not going to go back into the story. They were well past the age. The Bible says that they were well stricken in years. And yet we know that when God began to do a work on them, He moved on their behalf to the point that even at that time that she got to where she was giving birth. And afterwards, the Bible tells us that a king actually wanted her for his harem. She was beautiful. The Lord had done a transformation in her life. Come on now, are you with me this morning? God is a miracle-working God, and He's faithful, and He's made promises to us. Don't you dare let go of those promises, because He is faithful. Psalm 119:90 says, "Your faithfulness is unto all generations." Oh, that's the good news, isn't it? In other words, His faithfulness is evident to everyone. So what was the secret to her strength? You know, if the Bible says that she was delivered of a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful. What was the secret? She judged him faithful. And when we do so, we receive strength ourselves. We receive strength to overcome our own nature. Well, why is that important? Because we live in a physical world that is governed by our senses. Are you hearing me? So we have to overcome what we think. We have to overcome what we see, what we feel, what we can touch, what we can hear. We have to overcome these things in order to lay hold of the promise that God has given us. Because those things will scream out at you, and they'll draw them. Here you are believing God for something, but your checkbook's got a loud voice. Or your body's screaming at you. Or your symptoms or your circumstance are out in front of you, and they're screaming and they're yelling or they're talking, and if you're not careful, you'll get sucked into the physical realm where God is saying, don't be moved by what you can see. Don't be moved by what you feel and what you hear, but only be moved by the fact that I made you a promise. Are you getting a hold of this? Huh? Here's the thing. Yeah, we live in a physical world, and it's based on what we can think and hear and see. Here's the reality. If you can see it, it can change. I'll say that again. If you can see it, it can change. How do we know that? I said, how do we know that? Well, the Word tells us, doesn't it? 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Everybody say it's subject to change. No matter what it is that you're believing for, it's subject to change. So what are we truly talking about? We're talking about God's faithfulness versus His reluctance. Do you ever see in Scripture where the Bible says, "I know I can, but I'm not sure I want to"? You ever been that way with somebody? You have the ability to do something for them, but because they've been ornery, you don't want to do it. Maybe with your spouse. "Well, you know, she looked at me wrong today, so I'm not gonna do that. Huh? I'm not gonna call her. I'm not gonna answer that text. I'm mad at her." That's when you need to do it. I said, that's when you need to do it. That's what love does. So you will never see in Scripture where the Lord says, "I can, I don't want to." Never. We act that way. We feel that way sometimes, but we never see anything about His unwillingness to do it. We see that Scripture in Mark chapter 4. You remember, you're there in Mark. Look over at Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Again, this is talking about the same thing. We haven't digressed here. Mark chapter 4, verse 35, it says, "The same day when the evening was come, He said unto them, Let us pass over to the other side." Well, they had goal number one, didn't they? What was the goal? Let's pass over to the other side. What did He fully expect to do? Pass over to the other side. Verse 36 says, "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. And there was also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." In other words, this boat wasn't just leaking, it was full of water. "And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, in the midst of the storm." In the midst of the boat filling up with water, the Bible says He was asleep on a pillow. "And they woke Him up and said, Master, do You not care that we perish? And He arose and rebuked the wind and said, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Master, don't You care that we perish? Did you know the Bible doesn't say that Jesus said, "Nah, I don't really care. Nah, I'm just, don't bother me. Y'all go do what you do. I'm just going to sleep here." Well, the idea is people often have this idea that, well, if you cared, you'd be up worrying with us. Listen, that's the thing that you and I deal with probably most in this life, is because of the circumstances that we're dealing with, and when life hits you right between the eyes, what's our first instinct? To worry. To get full of care. Master, don't you care? Not really. I don't really care. Can you not bother me? I'm sleeping right now. You don't ever see his reluctance. You don't ever see his unwillingness. Come on now. The Bible says, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? That's what we're talking about this morning. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not also do it? Has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God doesn't make broken promises. I said, God doesn't make broken promises. What did he say? He said in verse 35, let's pass over to the other side. That was it. That's all he said. Nothing else needed to say. So if he's made a promise to you in regards to your family, in regards to your health, in regards to your finances and prosperity and all these things, if he's made a promise to you, and I submit to you that he has, if he's made a promise to you, then you have to take it for what it is, and that is his word to you. It's his promise spoken to you. It's not unwillingness, it's faithfulness. It's not reluctance, it's his willingness to do what he's already told you that he's going to do. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all, everybody say all. For all the promises of God in him are yes and amen. I love the Voice translation reads, it's a resounding yes. It's a resounding yes. Psalm 89:34 says, my covenant I will not break, nor alter or change the thing that is gone out of my lips. In other words, God will back what he says. In the Voice translation, it reads, not even one word of what my lips has spoken. Oh, think about that. My covenant I will not break, nor alter or change the thing that is gone out of my lips. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, he who called you is faithful, he will surely do it. Somebody say surely. He's faithful who promised. Amen. And then, of course, the gist of what we're talking about in Galatians 3:18 says, God gave the inheritance to Abraham by promise. In other words, he was determined to make sure that promised inheritance came to pass. And so that's what we've spent the last couple messages talking about, is the fact that God made a promise to Abraham about the promised inheritance that was to become his. Hebrews 6:13, for when God made a promise, because he could swear by none greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Notice that word swear. Because he could swear by none greater, he swore by himself. Now, has anybody ever been in a courtroom situation? Anybody ever been up on the witness stand? Anybody ever watched Judge Judy? Okay, we get some hands there. You know, if anybody ever gets up on the witness stand, what do? They ask them to, you know, they put a Bible out, they tell them, put their hand on the Bible, and what do they say? I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Right? And so this, what you're doing is, you know, you're putting your hand on the Bible, you're testifying, and you're swearing by something that is higher than you and mightier than you. I swear on my dead mama's grave. Anybody ever heard, you ever heard somebody say that? Or I swear on this, or I swear on that. I swear on the Bible. Well, I actually like the way the Bible says it. It says, because God could not swear by anybody greater, because there's no one greater than him. It says, he swore by himself. So what's he saying? The following, what follows after that, is he saying, I'm going to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you me. I mean what I say, and I'm going to do what I say. So what did he do? He said, because he could swear by none greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely. Surely. It doesn't get any stronger than that, does it? Surely, blessing I will bless you, multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. That different people say different things, but you understand there was a period of time between the time that he received this promise until Isaac came along. Now that's a whole other message, but have you ever had to wait 25 years for your promise to come to pass? We get anxious if we don't see the promise come to pass in an hour, in a day, in a month, in a year. Can you imagine 25 years? The things and the thoughts that you had to be dealing with during that time? But it says, so after he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Glory to God. You're truly seeing the mind and the heart of a father. He's always thinking about your future. He's always thinking about setting you up for the days ahead. Any good father does that, doesn't he? We talked about it last time, but you know, when our kids were growing up, we endeavored to set them up as best we could. Right? I mean, because we want the best for them. We want to provide for them. We want them to be a success in the future. And so we did the best we could, because that's the heart of a father and mother is to take care of your kids and see that they become a success. I remember growing up, towards high school years and going into college, you know, my dad always told me, he said, son, I want you to do better than I did. I want you to make more money. I want you to be happy. I want you to be successful, because he said, I want you to do better than I did. I will never forget that. That's the heart of a father. So we see throughout Scripture where the Lord set it up, his willingness to provide protection and provision and healing and well-being, which leads to victorious living. And victorious living it covers you spiritually, physically, mentally, financially, socially, all of those things. What is it 3 John 2 says? Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. What does that mean? If you say, I wish above all things, what does that mean? Jeremiah came to Shelah. You know, we used to get the Sears catalogs and at Christmas time you'd get these catalogs, you know, and we took those catalogs and you started looking, what do I want for Christmas? Well, nowadays Target sends one out and Amazon sends one out. And so anyways, we always give those to the kids and we say, circle what you want, give it back to us, because we want you to have, you know, what you want. And so Jeremiah took it and he went to town circling. And he kept circling. Well, he brought it back to Shelah and he said, Mimi, he said, I would appreciate it if you'd go ahead and get me everything that I circled this year, because you didn't do that last year. Now listen, I know all the moms and dads that have kids in the home are going, well, how dare he say that? I don't care. We're going to do everything we can to make sure that we get him everything on the list. That's what grandparents do. Didn't bother me in the least bit. Didn't bother her. You know what she did? She started thinking about, okay, well, where do I get this? Where do I get this? Where do I get this? Do you know that's the mind of the Father towards you? He said, what's your desire? How can I get it to you? Here's the reality, though. He's done everything that he's going to do to make sure it comes to pass in your life. He sent Jesus, his only son, to die on the cross to give you everything that you need in this life. And it's not just so that you can enjoy the days ahead when you get to heaven. When we all get to heaven, what a glorious day will be. That's right. And I look forward to that day. You ought to be looking forward to that day. You ought to be thinking about that day. But you know, the Bible says godliness is profitable, having the promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. He wants you to enjoy life now on your way. He wants to provide for you now on your way. So you have a right to lay hold of those promises. You have a right to lay hold of his willingness to do it for you. So let's go back to Abraham. Look at Genesis 12. We've read this a number of times, but this is part of the promise. And of course we've seen, because we are the seed of Abraham, that if he gave that promise to Abraham, that promise is also made to you. So here in Genesis 12, of course you know the story, but in verse number 1 it says, "Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of your country and from your kindred, from your father's house, unto a land I will show you." Now watch this. "I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you." Now watch this. "In you shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So if all the families of the earth are going to be blessed through faithful Abraham, that includes you. I thank God that Father Abraham obeyed and went out. Because of what he did, I'm blessed today. I'm glad that Abraham was obedient to do what God called him to do. So we are in essence in line. 1 Peter 3, 9 says that we are called to inherit a blessing. We're called to inherit a blessing. So what does it mean if you're blessed? Everybody say, "I'm blessed."
I'm blessed.
Say it boldly, "I'm blessed."
I'm blessed.
So if you're blessed, what does that mean? It means that you're, anybody ever heard somebody say, "I'm blessed and highly favored"? Well, that's truly what that means. If you study it out in the Greek, in the Hebrew, it truly means to be highly favored and preferred above everybody else. So it's easy for you to say, "I'm God's favorite. I'm convinced that He loves me more than you." Convinced of it. But did you know that you can say the same thing? "I am convinced that He loves me more than you." So, well, He loves us equally. Now, I'm His favorite. That's what the Bible tells me. I'm blessed. So what does that mean? I'm highly favored. I'm His favorite. Does that bother anybody? Does that bother you that I'm His favorite? Shouldn't, because you ought to think the same thing. I'm His favorite. Every one of us is His favorite. Huh? Highly favored, preferred. Blessed means enlarged, lengthened. So many different terminologies that it means. It means to be able to be in a position, to be able to declare, if it could go right, it does. Now that's in opposition to what most people think. They go through a challenge and they think, "Well, if it could go wrong, it is for me right now. Can anything else go wrong this week? I mean, this happened and that happened and this happened and that happened." You think, "Well, if it's going to go wrong, it's going to go wrong for me." You better watch yourself. You're blessed along with faithful Abraham. And if you're blessed, that means if it can go right, it does for me. Anybody have anything go on this week? Huh? Something that presents a challenge? I woke up, Sheila leaves before me, well before me. She gets up well before I do, at an ungodly hour. But it's because she's being spiritual, you know. And so anyway, she had left, and when you come out of in my house, when you come out of the master bedroom in the back of the house, you walk by the laundry room, kind of leads out to the garage. And I was always quiet, so nobody was there, it was just me. So I'd got up out of bed and I was walking to go into the kitchen to make a cup of coffee. And when I passed by the laundry room, I heard a noise. I was like, "What is that?" Well, she hadn't been running the washer or the dryer, and I thought, "Well, man, you know, it's like a ticking sound." So I went back in there and I'm standing there and I'm like, "Well, they're not running." I mean, I don't do my own laundry. I don't even know. I don't know. I know that I take my clothes off, I put them in this basket, and then they come back clean. It's wonderful. It has been that way since college, because whenever she started dating me in college, she said, "If I'm going to be with you, you are not going to stink. So bring me your clothes." So ever since I was a freshman in college. I have not done my laundry. Hallelujah. We'll talk later. I found me a wonderful woman. Saying that to say, I walked in there and I had no idea what I was looking at. But I knew it shouldn't be ticking. So I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, okay, these aren't running. Something is ticking and it shouldn't be doing that. And it was loud enough that I heard it. So as I'm sitting there and I'm listening to this, I'm like, you know what that sounds like? Because it sounds like something dripping. So I got underneath the washer with a flashlight and I was looking and I couldn't see anything. There was no water under there. I didn't hear anything. But then the closer that I listened, I realized it was under the floor. Well, in our house, you could actually walk underneath the house. You know, it's got a basement. And so I went out underneath the house, and I walked all the way to the back where that was, and I realized that my pipes were dripping. And so water was running down a pipe, and it was drip, drip, drip. Well, led me to look, pull away the insulation, and look, water's running down a drain pipe. Well, that don't make any sense because, you know, if it's running down a drain pipe, it's got to be coming out the bottom. This was actually at the top of the drain pipe. So then I thought, well, I've got water lines that are leaking up around that drain pipe somewhere. So I'm telling you a lot of information, but you'll see where I'm going here. So long story short, I end up pulling the washing machine out. I cut a hole in the wall only to figure out that wasn't the issue. Because when I did all of that, I realized there was no water problem. There was water all over the floor, and I thought it was where I'd pulled the drain line out of the thing to pull it away from the wall, but come to find out, all of this water was coming from underneath the washing machine. So, which led to, guess what? Gotta have a new washing machine because I'm not allowed to fix it. I have fixed this particular washing machine a number of times, and I've kept it going all these years, but some 15 years, I don't know, we were trying to figure out how long we've had it. She said, you are not allowed to fix it. I said, well, I can fix it. I said, I just got to have a little help to lean it back. It's a little bit heavy. She said, you are not fixing it. Well, that led to new washer. Guys, and dryer. Because you can't just do washer. You can't just do washer. That doesn't even make sense, right? Because if you get new washer, the dryer doesn't work anymore. New washer, new dryer. So that's what we did this week. New washer, new dryer. Well, that's fun. That's unexpected. But how many of you know the Lord's still your provider? The Lord still sits. So it doesn't matter if it's your car. Doesn't matter if it's your washer. Doesn't matter if it's your dryer. Doesn't matter if it's a relationship thing going on. If it's your job. None of that changes the fact that God is still your provider. He's still made a way for you. He's looking after you. He's set out to protect you. Physically, mentally, financially, spiritually, socially. He's took care of it all. So what do you got to do? You got to say, you know what? I'm blessed and highly favored. He prefers me above everybody else. Here's another step. We went to go buy this. Sheila walked in, found what she wanted, and it was, you know, it was really nice and stackable and blah, blah, blah. Does all the blah, blah, blah things, you know. And so anyways, we signed the papers on the deal, and we're walking out the door, and I'm not joking, the manager and the guy that we bought it from chased us down out the door, and they said, wait. We just looked, and they make that top of the line in what you've got, and it's going to be the exact same price because they've got a rebate on it. Let's redo the paperwork. Come on now. I didn't care because that didn't mean more money. She did because that meant she's getting a better deal on or getting more features on the blah, 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 you know, all the things that make my clothes look good. So she was really excited about it. But you know what that is? That's God working for me. That's God working things out. That's God saying, you know what? You're blessed and highly favored. Ken Reams, anybody remember Ken Reams used to walk around here? Anybody remember what Ken used to say? You could look at Ken and say, Mr. Reams, how are you doing today? And what would he say? He said, if I was doing any better, I'd have to be twins. That's what he'd say. Anybody ever heard him say that? That's blessed and highly favored. That means you got so much blessing going on, you don't have enough to receive it, so you just need somebody else to pass it on to. Blessed and highly, that's God's intention for you. Look back at flip over to Matthew chapter 5. You still with me? Somebody say, I'm blessed and highly favored. That's you. Why? Because we're blessed with faithful Abraham. That's why. We're blessed with faithful Abraham. You're here in Matthew. You know, used in the framework of the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5 talks about our state of well-being. It talks about having deep joy and contentment that can't be shaken by poverty and grief, persecution, rejection. Think about this. Matthew 5, verse 3, Jesus teaching the multitude, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men revile and persecute you, and they shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, but you're blessed. Somebody say, I'm blessed. Yes. Now don't be downtrodden because of those last couple verses. Are you going to be persecuted in this life? Things going to come up? People going to speak evil against you? You going to have challenges? What are you going to do? You're going to say, I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. The more blessed you are, the more that you're walking in the blessing, the more that you are in line for your intended inheritance, the more that you can be a blessing to others. When your demeanor is right, when you understand that you've obtained mercy, then you can be merciful to somebody else. Whenever you understand that you know chaos is all around you, then you can be the peacemaker. That's what the Beatitudes are all about. Here's another way to consider it. There is a family right here in this community that is waiting for you to step up and claim what is rightfully yours. Do you know other people depend on you? Now you got really quiet there. Not just talking about your family. Your family depends on you to be in your right place too. But there are people in this community there that are waiting on you to step up. God is waiting on you to step up so that He can use you to do something for somebody else. So important to lay hold of the inheritance and the promise. See, true prosperity and true blessing is not only to meet your needs, your family's needs, but it's also to be in a position to meet the needs of others. That's true prosperity. I tell you, you really ought to start thinking about others above yourself. That's Bible. That's gospel. Galatians 6:10 takes it a step further and it says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. So yeah, it's important. It's important for you to be in the right place. Psalm 37:18 says, the Lord knows the days of the upright, their inheritance shall be forever. Psalm 84:11 says, no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. He's counting on you. I said He's counting on you, but He's not holding out. He's not holding out. He's provided everything. He wants you to take care of everything. Look over at Psalm 112. Christmas is going to be coming up soon enough. Kind of hard to believe, isn't it? You know, the way that we did things at our house on Christmas Eve, we were able to open one gift. It's what we did at our house. You know, Christmas Eve, everybody got together. It's a big deal. But when I was a kid, you can open up one gift. Well, what did that mean? That meant that my mom and dad were holding out on us. That meant that they had more, but we were only allowed one. Huh? Caleb and Christina don't like it, but when the kids come into my office for the candy jar, do you know something I've never told them? Well, no. Yes, I don't know what no means. But then I've never looked at them and said, take one. Because I don't care. I'll go get another bag. Now, mama cares. Daddy cares. You know, they don't want them so hopped up on sugar that, you know, I don't care. I'm not holding out on them. And usually, now not recently, because I think I've told y'all that Josiah's been after me because I didn't have any M&Ms. And so recently he's been coming in there and he's told me a number of weeks in a row, just because I just hadn't got to the store, he said, Papa, where's the M&Ms? I said, well, I'm out, man. You'll have to eat what's there. And he'd go, you need to go to the store. I do. Well, saying that to say he's not holding out on you. Psalm 112, verse number 1 says, praise the Lord, blessed. Somebody say, I'm blessed. Blessed. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. His righteousness endures forever. Somebody say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Why? Because of faithful Abraham. Because God has set you up to be a blessing. So because of that, he wants you to get a hold of this message so that you say, you know what, Lord, you've provided everything that I need today, so I'm not going to worry about a thing. Oh, everybody stand to your feet. That's so good, isn't it? Oh, glory to God. I said glory to God. You know, in Acts 10:34, Peter speaking, he said, having opened his mouth, he said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Such a powerful statement, because it means that, you know, even though we said I'm his favorite, really what that means is you can be his favorite, you can be his favorite, and you can be his favorite. So here was Peter. He was trying to get the people to see that God's not influenced by social status. God's not influenced by prestige and power and wealth and cliques and followers. And God's not moved by all that. You know what moves God? Faith. Because the Bible tells us that faith pleases God. The Bible tells us that faith grabs a hold of the promise, and it says faith pleases God. Faith. God's no respecter of person. So why are we talking about all this? Because I want you to straighten your thinking out. I want you to get a hold of the fact that we serve a loving Heavenly Father who's given us great and precious mighty promises that are found right here in this Word. So that if you will choose to believe it and act on it, it'll begin to make a difference in your life. You don't have to walk around broke. You don't have to walk around depressed, discouraged, sick. You don't have to walk around that way in life, because everything you would ever need in life has been provided for you. God's the healer. I said, God's the healer. God's the deliverer. God's our Savior. So that's why we say all the time, Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus delivers, and Jesus is the soon coming King. So important for you to get in your place this morning. The world is dependent on it. We say all the time, you know, take these invitation cards and take them out into your community and invite somebody to church. And we don't do it just so we could fill up every pew, although nothing would please us more. You know why that is? Because that's more people hear the truth of the gospel. That's more people that are seeing things that are going to change their life for eternity. But you have a message for a lost and dying world. Your testimony to a lost and dying world is what's going to make the difference. You, every day, come across somebody that needs to hear Jesus loves you. Jesus gave his life for you. And because Jesus gave his life for you, you don't have to be broke and sick and depressed and discouraged. Isn't that good news? That's the gospel. That's the good news about a good God. And that's the heart of a father. And he wants you to get a hold of that vision for the future, that moving forward, I need to be where I'm supposed to be, where he's called me to be, so that he can use me to reach out to a lost and dying world. Oh, Father, we thank you this morning that you're faithful to your word. Faithful who promised. Faithful. Oh, somebody say he's faithful. He is faithful to me. Great is your faithfulness to me. Oh, Father, you're so good. You've never failed me. You've never let me down. So good. This morning I want to give you an invitation, and it's just simply this. Maybe you don't know what it means to serve a good God. Maybe you don't have the revelation that he loves you like you should. It's a simple proposition. You say, Father, I see that you love me. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior this morning. It's that simple. If you don't like the direction your life has been going this morning, then all you have to do is say, Father, forgive me. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Right there in that moment, something changes for eternity. Something changes and you get a revelation that there's so much more to this life than what you see. And he's provided it all for you. Might close your eyes, bow your head just for a moment, just out of respect. This morning, if that's you, if you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, or maybe you have, but you've taken a step back and you haven't been doing what you should be doing and you know it. You've backslidden, as many would say. It's real simple. All you do is slide back. Say, Father, forgive me. You get right back in right standing with him and you begin to lay hold of the provision that's already provided for you. Is that you this morning? Can I pray with you right where you are? Just ask you to slip your hand up. Anybody at all? He's faithful. He's faithful to forgive. He's faithful to cleanse. Faithful to put you right back in right standing with him, right where you belong. Is that you? Oh, glory to God. Lift both hands to heaven this morning. Say, Father, forgive me for the areas I've missed it. Put me back in right standing with you so that I can receive all the blessings that you have for me, so that I can be a blessing to those that are around me. Say you're faithful. Boldly say you're faithful. Faithful to all his promises. Glory to God. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Glory to God. He's faithful. He's faithful and he will do it. He's faithful. He doesn't change his mind. He's faithful. And it shall come to pass in your life. Just choose to believe it and act on it this morning. Amen. Glory to God. If it's provision you need, he's faithful. If it's peace of mind you need, he's faithful. If it's healing you need, he's faithful. Nobody has to lay hands on you. Nobody has to speak a word to you. All you have to do is say, Father, you're faithful. You're faithful. Glory to God. I've asked these guys to sing this song on the way out. You know, just thinking about his goodness, thinking about his faithfulness will do wonders for you. So on your way out this morning, be sure to greet somebody on your way out. But you declare he's faithful. Every single morning, he's faithful. Great is your faithfulness. Amen. Glory to God.
I will trust.